your face, please.
All right, everyone's attention. There's a sign up sheet going around. When we have some follow-up meetings on this, or if we have some interest in some action plans, and you want to be involved in something in the future on this, just please put your name down so we know how to get a hold of you. Most of you have got an agenda. For those that don't, I apologize. I'm really impressed with the show up. It's more than what I was expecting. This is not going to be a meeting where we're going to have a panel of experts up here explain to you how we're going to solve this problem. This group here is going to work on identifying the problem and solving it. So it's an interactive meeting, and we're going to try and stay focused. The only thing I've got to do with this is I'm going to facilitate it. We've got some time limitations. I want to be out of here in an hour and a half. We don't want things dragging on. So I'm going to try and keep us focused on task and moving forward. Now, for those of you that have got the agenda, the first thing that we're going to do, we're going to try and identify the scope of the problem. And I can see that coming in two different forms. One of it's going to be with teens drinking, minors, youth. The other one will be just an overall problem in Haines with alcoholism and alcohol in general. We're going to brainstorm, throw every idea we can up here on the board in 15 minutes on each one of these things. Then we'll go through and we'll prioritize it a little bit, try and generalize or narrow the scope. Then we're going to work on brainstorming some solutions to it. We're not going to solve them here, but hopefully we're going to identify the problem, identify some possible solutions, get an action plan, and then move forward from here. I know that there's been studies like this done before. There's studies nationwide. Town hall meetings are done every day that attack this exact same problem, and it's been done here in Haines. This is nothing new. There was the search of behavioral health focused on a study back in 2006 that focused on the risk factors in town. Big, long, very in-depth study. I've got a copy of it. It's some good stuff, but it didn't go anywhere. So that's what we want to do. We want to identify not only the problems, but some solutions, and let's move it forward. So right now, I got the mayor's going to act as Vanna White. She volunteers. She's got classroom experience. She can write on the board. So, mayor, come on. The first thing we want to do, we want to identify the scope of the problem. What is the alcohol problem here in town? So let's just come up with every idea we can come up with. There is not a bad idea. It can come from anyone. Come from the young people, the old people, anybody. Every idea you can think of, let's throw it up here on the board. So right now we're open. We got 15 minutes. What's the scope of the problem? Yes.
Resulting in unstable homes for kids.
Okay.
Instability in some households.
Yes.
Providing alcohol to minors.
There you go. Are you keeping up with this, Mayor?
So far. As long as I don't have to dance.
Yes.
Uninvolved parents.
Uninvolved parents. Yes, sir.
Children operating vehicles.
Absolutely. What do you think?
Adults setting poor examples.
Are you staying caught up with this, Mayor? Yes, ma'am.
What would you have the children driving vehicles?
Adults setting bad examples. Yes, ma'am.
There's an identification of drinking with maturity in young adults and not understanding or lack of understanding and or belief in the consequences of binge drinking, which they engage in as a real risk to themselves.
So, educating youth.
Be
It's more than just educating, because they all take health at school, and that doesn't seem to make, I mean, again, I'll answer the right questions, but I think it's a values. You know, it doesn't connect to them inside.
Social values?
Not understanding the seriousness.
Yeah.
Jan, what, how about invincibility of youth?
It's beyond that, and that's part of it, but I think it's beyond it. It's like, they don't have any reason not to drink. All their friends drink, they think that, no, they think that that's being...
Okay, peer pressure?
Social pressure, yeah.
Social pressure?
And there's a general acceptability of alcohol use and abuse and excess in this valley.
Social acceptance?
Yeah, on all levels.
Get social acceptance?
Got it.
Doc, did you have something?
Well, no, I just follow what Jan was saying.
Christie?
Marty has something.
Marty?
Some people think they're cool.
Yeah? Yes, Russ?
The authority's not holding underage drinkers accountable, not prosecuting underage drinkers, not going after people they give the alcohol to.
With no consequences?
No.
Lack of consequences?
Not enough people going to jail, getting their licenses taken away.
Steve?
Lack of alternatives or awareness of alternatives?
Okay. Here, Dave, put it right up here.
Steve, what was yours?
Lack of alternatives or awareness of the alternatives.
You mean like alternatives of things to do?
Things to do, yes, like other things to do in town, a variety of activities.
How about people not being comfortable to get help? Either not knowing where to get it or not feeling like it's acceptable.
Not being aware of where to get help?
Resource, yeah.
Well, and along with that, just the lack of anonymity. Because, like, for example, if you have a meeting in town and everyone knows what time it is and they drive by and see so-and-so's car, I mean, how many of us know exactly who everyone's car is in town? So that plays into that whole lack of getting help.
Fake IDs. Okay. Mike?
Glorification of drinking and the beer festival as an example.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Maybe prioritize a little bit and kind of lump them together and see what we come up with. Okay.
I have one more. Low self-esteem.
Low self-esteem?
Lack of respect for the rules or authority.
Yes.
People looking the other way.
Yep. Okay, this kind of lumped in. Yes, ma'am.
I'm just going to throw education up there, too.
I think every one of these is education, but certainly, absolutely goes in there. But now, can we kind of lump some of these into categories together? I know they don't mean the same thing. Unstable homes, uninvolved parents, lack of family communication. What else would go together in those categories? Take your Red Star, unstable homes. How do you make a star on that? There we go. Uninvolved parents. Adult setting bad examples. Partially is more of a.
We could have two communities.
Yeah, that's more of a community thing. No consequences.
How about not still getting arrested?
Lack of family communication.
That no consequences could be family, too.
Yes.
Some of the no consequences could be family.
Okay, and some of these are going to.
Overlap.
Kind of overlap and cross boundaries, Germany. In these categories, how do we attack that problem? Well, in just the home situation, unstable home, uninvolved parents, no consequences at home, lack of family communications, how do we solve that? But we know that. Everybody in here knows that.
One thing we don't do is we don't involve the Office of Children's Services very often in addressing systemic family problems that are getting expressed in children. And you know, and I hate the thought of OCS. I mean, I don't like that, and we certainly don't use it. But we certainly don't use it to our benefit here in this country.
But having that fear behind you,
how about holding the parents responsible for their children?
Yeah.
Punishing the parents if the kids are screwing up.
Yeah. But that's partially not fair, too, because a lot of times parents probably don't even know.
Well, then they deserve it. Yeah.
Yeah, they do, too.
What else can we do with the family issues? Did you
call the parents responsible?
Yeah, I have reports to OCS to holding parents responsible.
You know, we have to look at what's in the best interest of our children, and sometimes we have alcoholic homes that can't set examples and won't abide by anything or show up at a meeting like this. And there's a lot of that going on out there. And I think that if we don't start where the parents take the responsibility, I heard over here, or someone let these parents know and shake them up and say, listen, this is not the example you can set because it's your kid that's going out there doing stuff. We know it. We all know who it is. We all know everything. We're a small community. It has to be, you know, a lot of sacrifice from us because it's in the best interest of our kids in general. If that means cracking down with OCS to keep them alive, hell, I'll keep them alive. I know what it's like to almost lose one to alcohol recently here, and it's awakening. Don't let it happen to anybody else. That's why we're here.
I think that, you know, you brought up these are some really great points in it. I think what Nancy mentioned points to the extreme complexity of it. It's extremely, extremely complicated. And it goes to the heart of our economy and our media and our society in a very deep and complex way. But the death and injury of young people in vehicles is fundamentally because they're in a car and they're going fast. If it was back in the days of horse and buggies, you could go out and get drunk and fall off the horse, and the horse would end up back in the barn, and you'd end up in bed. And nobody probably know.
And all the parents in town will tell you that their parents told them, go down to the beach and drink, and you'll be fine, which they did because they didn't have cars to ride around.
So, well, I'm not suggesting that there should be acceptance. What I am saying is that there is an important issue that deals with the deadly force and the use of deadly force by people who are not who should not be legally allowed to use that.
You're absolutely right. So we need to, part of the education process with the parents is, one, don't let them drink. Two, if you want to let them drink, don't let them drive.
Back it up with consequences. The enforcement consequences, I think, is as important as anything else. Mm-hmm. That the parents hold their children accountable if a boundary is crossed. You know, I think that's almost, you can set rules for your little things, but if they're not followed through, it's a moot point.
Yes,
can we create some sort of time and place to talk over, so parents can talk to each other, parents who have been successful in reining in their kids, some sort of time and place to have dialogue about it. Maybe kids by themselves sometimes, but families together. Some people are each turn around.
Maybe that means bringing in some experts. Maybe it means having some group-led discussion by a counseling service.
Well, and for parents to not feel alone, that they're the only one, and it's their big secret, and they feel ashamed because they couldn't bring their kids in early, but now it's time, now it is life-threatening. Somehow a way to share information and talk about the hard stuff.
Do we have a PTA?
Well, and we keep saying families and stuff, but all that's screaming in my mind are the 19 and 20-year-olds that aren't living at home now, that we have to include them in this, you know? We have to think about how are we reaching out to those kids that are out of their parents' home and think that they're, you know, cognitively ready to make decisions that clearly they're not. And so I think that's an important thing that we have to remember when we're saying family. We have to think of those kids that are basically on their own. And we know 17-year-olds in this town that are living on their own. So we have to remember, we have to reach out to those kids too if we're going to try to make, you know, get some education out there across the board so they're self-monitoring also.
I like that idea of giving peers the tools to deal with situations in that moment so that they're out there, you guys are with your friends, you have some ideas of what to do instead of just not know what to do. So peer education.
What I would like to see, I think, as a parent, my kids are now kind of almost all past this, but I have found in my experience raising five of them here that invariably my punishment as a parent has been much more severe than anything at school or from law enforcement. When my children have been minors consuming, when they've been at parties with alcohol, when they've been in cars with people drinking and driving, the punishment that we gave them, telling them this is wrong, this is bad, bad stuff can happen, never happened except from us.
Right.
And so I guess what I would appreciate as a parent who is on it, and certainly for other parents who are on it, is to have a little backup. If the police stop a kid, give them a minor consuming, throw the book at them so it doesn't happen. Don't say, oh, you're a nice kid, you're drunk, we'll call your parents, we'll bring you home, we won't give you a DUI. Don't let them, you know, tell the school if they're at a drinking party and kick them off the basketball team or the cross-country team or whatever. Because as a parent, I tell them that's going to happen, and I swear I can't think of one time it's happened. And my children are now 21 to 28, and I can't think of a kid that happened to. And it would really, really help parents who were on it if when we said, you know, you can't do this, or you're going to get kicked off the team, or you're going to get a minor consuming, or you're not going to be able to go to college because this is on your record, it would actually happen. Because it doesn't. It doesn't here. And my kids know, even my adult kids know now, for instance, they all play in softball tournaments, that in Skagway you got to bring a bicycle, in Juneau you got to get a ride, in Haines, people can drink and drive. And everybody in Southeast knows that. There's no real hammer for anybody. And, you know, and then we all get upset and I have to write an obituary when somebody dies. And it's very frustrating, I think, when you're a parent that's on it.
Thank you, Mike. I think we need a three-pronged approach, I mean, because we, and it's got to be community-wide. I think we need community-wide peer pressure, pressure, you know, and to not drink, and I think then we also need to provide community-wide education, provide for everyone, and get that word out, and what the effects of this is, it can be, and so that every time people are turning around, they see it. And then also assistance when people want help, because obviously a lot of this is symptomatic of deeper problems that are deeper rooted. And if you don't take care of those things, it's just difficult to deal with the others.
I supervise three other communities in search community family services, which deals a lot with drug and alcohol issues. And I mean, it's amazing the number of I have to review files and things like that. The number of minor consumings that are issued in other communities versus Haines is like night and day. Us being like we don't have any, and compared to other communities, and so it makes it unreal for our youth.
I would say that we've had educational programs here in Haines, but I don't think it's been consistent. I think that's really important, to have an ongoing, consistent education program for parents and kids. And I mean, including that, helping people identify if there's a problem. Say, like one of the girls there said that sometimes the parents don't know. So how does a parent identify when there's something going on before it's too late? Or how does a teacher identify that something's going on with a kid that maybe involves some parents being alcoholics? And then applying the, being able to identify that, and then being able to connect who we, or what you've identified with the resources. We have great resources in town. It's a matter of connecting the people that we identify or who come out and identify themselves with the resources that can help them.
I think education is obviously like a huge part of this, but another thing is the community should kind of give us a place to like go and hang out. Like, how hard could it be to find an empty building? There were some pool tables in there, some couches, somewhere we can go and hang out and not have to resort to, okay, well, let's go to campfire, you know. Because it's like, that's one of the main things, I think, is, it's like, especially in the winter, there's like, not much to do. I mean, there is, if you want to go, like, hiking in the snow, but sometimes everyone doesn't want to do that. So, yeah, if the community provides, like, a place, like, a nice place for us to just go and hang out with our friends, and I mean, even if there was some sort of like supervision or whatever, that'd be a lot better than just giving us a bunch of education about it, because we all know that drinking is bad for us.
That's the alternative.
I'm a graduate of Haines High School.
Along the signs of the lines of what Esther's saying, I think that sometimes the teen center could be a component of a community center, and so that's already being discussed.
Okay, that's family issues. Let's look at maybe our next. Oh, what can we group together next? Social acceptance, adult-setting bad examples, peer social pressure,
glorification of alcohol is the same as adult-setting bad examples, similar.
People looking in the way.
So what as a community can we do on this issue? Community social issues,
but maybe lack of respect. Maybe lack of respect should be in there as well, because there's two sides to that. One's on the youth, the other's on the adults. Mm-hmm. We have an old, we have a law here, I think, about you're not supposed to have open containers. Is that right?
Yes.
Does that apply at the ball field?
Yes. It hasn't applied at the ball field for the last 19 years, but it does apply at the ball field. And we're in the process of educating the public on that.
About the golf course?
I mean, golf, that's... They don't have a liquor license. It's a public facility. It's open to the public, although you pay dues to get in. So I'd have to do some research on that. I think probably the fact that you're paying to get in makes it private, as opposed to a public facility like Fort Jones Parade Ground, anybody can walk on and off of that at any given time.
But the ballpark, you pay to play in the softball tournament too, so it's the same kind of thing.
The ballpark is a privately owned business, and the ball field and the park and the city park is under the borough's jurisdiction. So it is a little different.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be.
But they
that's
don't
right.
have a liquor license. That's the part on the ordinance side. She was talking about in Arizona how things have changed a lot with drunk driving because they passed the zero tolerance law. And in terms of social acceptance, the way she talks about it, it changed like overnight because now there's zero tolerance in the, she was in Phoenix, I'm not exactly sure what the law is, but nobody drinks and drives anymore.
Right.
It's totally changed the entire situation in a big city. And I don't see why we can't do that in a teeny, tiny town.
We have had...
I mean, people didn't like it when it happened. but I don't think they like surveyed people and said, like, we didn't bun you out.
The police department here has made 22 DUI arrests the last 20 months. About half of those have been from someone from the public calling in, reporting this person is driving erratically or something to those effect.
Well, I bet if they have random stops at night,
well,
they all stop drinking and driving.
Yes. Yeah, that's what the central problem cause. Just to see kind of
you can't like set a barrier to make everybody
check. No, I can't do that. But out of the 22 DUIs that we've had in the last 20 months, I'd say a good third of them told the officer, don't you realize this has changed? We can do this. This has changed. But you're right. Law enforcement has an important role in changing this attitude, and we're working on it. Social acceptance. Yes, sir.
I go along with that, and I think this is really good. But one of the problems that I see, and it's not just here, but in other communities, is when police do make arrests or they do issue citations, there's often people that come and complain about that. And I think it's going to be partly the community backing the police department, backing the school when they take discipline against the children. You know, parents oftentimes will come in and, you know, raise all kinds of, you know, issues with the school district, you know, and the same thing with the police department, issuing citations or pulling people over, then there's oftentimes a lot of pressure that comes in from residents and you know, objected to that with that same understanding. Well, this is Haynes, you know, we do this. So I think community backing these efforts is going to be a really important part of this too.
And that gets to the assembly and the school board needs to back the folks that work with the assembly school board, the police department and the school, you know, superintendent and the teachers who work with the school board. The school board needs to be able to say, no, these are the rules. These are the rules. You don't like the rules, they need to change them.
And that hasn't happened.
Right.
That hasn't happened. I mean, there's not been, when the police wanted to get tough on drunk driving, it was a holy hell. No, this is a while ago.
In the time that I've been here, I have not experienced that. The assembly and the elected officials have been very supportive of the police department since I've been here. Yes, ma'am.
So what's our action then? So we're talking about this. And so how do we get this word out? How do we make the community say, you know, there's eyes, we have eyes, we're watching, we want to make sure, we're giving you fair warning that this is going to happen. You know, we need an action then. So, like, who can head that up? Who's going to take that challenge on of, like, a poster campaign or a flyer campaign, a communication campaign, to say that, you know what, we've talked about it, we've brought it out, and we're done. Yeah, it's over. So who can be responsible for that? What entity can make that happen?
Our action plan on every one of these steps is going to be a very similar thing. Education, community resources, and peer support. Education is going to come from probably in this social acceptance kind of an area, the media is going to be the number one support that we've got. The radio stations, which they're here tonight, they're recording this whole thing. The print newspaper, the online newspaper. We've had some good support from the local media sources. The schools, the assembly. You know, this needs to be something that everyone talks about and says, hey, it's okay to not drink.
So maybe a resolution from the assembly and a resolution from the school board supporting this to start with.
Yep.
And then ticket.
I asked one question. So many of the parties go on outside the town site service area, so why isn't the trooper here? What happens, if you're going to work together or how that works? I mean, if everybody knows when they're not on duty, you have a party Friday night, I mean, how does that work?
I tell you, the law enforcement is a very vital means to this entire problem, but it's a small part of it. It's important and it has to take place. And it's difficult because the kids nowadays, they're texting, they're on their cell phones, they were on Facebook saying where the parties was, and we could figure out where the parties were and we'd meet them there. So now they've changed their strategies with the cell phones. It's tough to keep up with them. When there's one officer working and they can drive around and see where the officer is, it's tough for us to keep up with them, but we're working on it. We really are, and that's why we need everybody's support here. Yes?
I just want to say, too, that you were talking about parents, because there is a lot of parents that are involved with their children, but there are parents that are not in the right areas. Trying to engage with those parents also is kind of, because sometimes, you know, parents are, they kind of put raising their kids in some ways, if that is, that some of the reality, engaging with parents and trying to bring them in to take a look at their kids and stuff like that also, because a lot of the kids are drinking because they see their parents drinking, and so trying to bring the parents in also.
Absolutely, and how we do that, that's the $1 million question.
And that's what I just made that sense.
Chris?
What if we got, I love what she said in the group chat, I think she got too much to do, but about the parental support, and for each other, if you go to a party and you grab your child, take down names of everybody else, go get your, I know when they let out school, we used to have family trees, phone trees, and you call, start calling these parents, you just saw your kids, this is where they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it takes. It takes communications with the parents and the community resources to communicate as good as the kids are communicating.
I know in Florida, where we moved from a year ago, we had what were called community watch programs. And when you decided to be a member of that, you had a plaque that you put like in your front window of your house or somewhere visible. And those were safe places for children to always come if they were runaways or in danger. But also it was a message that we were going to hold each other accountable in our community. And then we were going to call the police or we were going to call. And so it was just kind of like a community building type situation where we knew, like, if I was taking my children over to one of those houses, I knew that was a pretty safe place for my kids to be. But it also made the community feel like we had a say
in keeping people safe. So it's just a community watch program.
How do we change a community social acceptance of alcohol? I mean, every social event in town is centered around alcohol, and my, you know, the beer fest is the top example. But Burr?
Well, the other examples are the fraternal organizations, the American Legion, and the Elks. And you know, I don't want to leave them out. I agree with you about the fair, and I understand that, and I'm concerned about that. But these institutions are part of that cycle as well. And indeed, they're all three of those organizations that were just mentioned. Part of the bottom line comes from the sale and at times misuse of alcohol.
And please, no one misunderstand me. I'm not against the sale of alcohol. This is not a war path against the tavern owners. I think they do a great job. Every liquor license establishment in town calls us on a regular basis and does their very best to comply to all the legal requirements that they do. But it's just socially acceptable, and that's the pattern that we're setting forth for the young people.
Maybe it's socially acceptable because, I mean, alcohol is a huge part of American culture. I don't think we're going to change that anywhere, including me. But what we can change, I think, is the way we manage the alcohol use and abuse in our town. And when I hear you say that your law enforcement is a small part of the issue, I might be really wrong on this, but I tend to think that you're a much bigger part. I think what Heather says is so true because I've had the same conversation with my sons a billion times. You know, this, and then a minor is consuming, gets run over and hurt, it's on the front page of the newspaper, and he's not cited. And I love that kid. And this is not about him.
Right.
This is about no bottom line. You know, let's talk about something not alcohol related. We have a child that's drug trafficking, and he's walking around. That does not say a lot of good things to the children in this community. And I know that, you know, you only have so much responsibility. I know you and your officers are under a tremendous amount of legal maneuvering to try to do anything. But I have said this for the last 10 years. If I, a middle-aged housewife who doesn't party much, knows who's using, who's supplying, where they're doing it, how they're doing it, surely you know. Because I'm like not in the main thing there. But I need you to be the bottom line. If you see Parker Schnall speeding, you need to stop him. You need to ticket him. You don't need to warn him. I've warned him. But if Parker Schnall is flying up the highway and he's not stopped, I am like, I'm just stupid. I'm telling him so many times, you're driving too fast, you're driving too fast. Well, apparently, it's okay. And you know, I need law enforcement. I kind of want my kids to be caught because...
That's exactly what we need to hear.
I've told you before, you see mine, you get them. Yeah. Don't send them home to me.
I think until you've been in a courtroom, you don't know personally how much the law enforcement is there for our community and how much it is not up to this law enforcement in our local setting and how much it has to do with lawyers and other parts of the equation that have nothing to do with our community. Until you sit in that courtroom, then you don't know how supportive your law enforcement in this community is. You don't know how available they are to try to rein it in and how very, I would say, attentive, astute, very conscientious about the care of these kids. And I would like to see the community support increase for law enforcement to crack down, but the truth is, we're a very small part of our community here. If we say, yes, we want law enforcement to crack down, there's a lot more of the opposing factor.
And but I guess that's it. It's the law. Okay, I'm just asking to enforce the law.
Well, we're happy to enforce the law. We're happy to encourage the law to be enforced. But I'm just saying that it isn't just our local law. It's our governmental